He unfolded a pair of zippy kaminiks, blushed, put them hastily away again, but kissed a perfumed acetate handkerchief and wound a scarf round his neck. Opening a box, he spilled a cloud of scented powder. His hands were floury with the stuff. He wiped them on his chest, on his shoulders, on his bare arms. Delicious perfume. He shut his eyes. He rubbed his cheek against his own powdered arm. Touch of smooth skin against his face, scent in his nostrils of musky dust. Her real presence. "Lenina," he whispered. "Lenina." A noise made him start, made him guiltily turn. He crammed up his thieveries into the suitcase and shut the lid, then listened again. Looked. Not a sign of life, not a sound. And yet he had certainly heard something, something like a sigh, something like the creak of a board. He tiptoed to the door and, cautiously opening it, found himself looking onto a broad landing. On the opposite side of the landing was another door, ajar. He stepped out, pushed, peered. There, on a low bed, the sheet flung back, dressed in a pair of pink one-piece zippy-jamas, lay Lenina, fast asleep, and so beautiful in the midst of her curls, so touchingly childish with her pink toes and her grave, sleeping face, so trustful in the helplessness of her limp hands and melted limbs, that the tears came to his eyes. With an infinity of quite unnecessary precautions, for nothing short of a pistol shot could have called Lena back from her summer holiday before the appointed time, he entered the room. He knelt on the floor beside the bed. He gazed. He clasped his hands. His lips moved. "Her eyes," he murmured. "Her eyes, her hair, her cheek, her gait, her voice, handless in thy discourse. Oh, that her hand, in whose comparison all whites are ink, writing their own reproach, to whose soft seizure the signet's down is harsh."